I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2, but before I do, you can hold your finger there and back up to the left into the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, I'm just going to begin and read, and I'll share a few things with you here, as well as one scripture in 1 Corinthians. And I've had a couple of folks that have come to me in light of being baptized that want to be baptized, and God willing, we will have baptizing coming up very shortly. I don't exactly have a date set for that yet, and as it unfolds, we'll see the reasons for that. But I just want to give you some insight into what's taking place and why we do that and what that's a part of, but I'm not going to cover the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a very spiritual glimpse into that this morning. The book of Ephesians, you can remain seated this morning. Book of Ephesians chapter number 4 says this in verse number 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Now he's speaking, writing a letter here to the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them in verse 3, "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And he makes a very clear doctrinal statement here in a spiritual context. There is one body. What body is that? The body of Christ. Now, we use that terminology, but I'm not sure that a lot of times folks in the Baptist church even understand what the body of Christ is or how that comes about or what that even means to be part of the body and the bride of Christ. When you become married, "For this cause does a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." When God saved your soul, if you are saved, if you are a born-again child of God, when he saved you, he made you one flesh with Christ. He made you part of his body, Christ being the head of that body. This is a beautiful and a wonderful thing. This is a spiritual thing. And here in verse number 4, there's one body, there's one Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the person of the Holy Ghost of God who baptizes you into the body of Christ, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 said there's one Lord, one faith. The word faith here means the method by which you get saved. This has to do with the gospel dispensation, the gospel of Christ. One faith, one baptism. This term, one baptism, is nothing to do with going to the baptizing hole and being baptized by the preacher. That's not what this is talking about. This is spiritually being baptized into the body of Christ. When Jesus saves your soul and by the work of the Holy Spirit of God makes you one with Christ, places you in his body, you are baptized. That is the word baptizo. The Greek word baptizo means to whelm or to overwhelm or to immerse. And when you get saved, when you get born of the Spirit of God, then you are buried in Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ, and that baptism is immersion. I realize and I understand, and it's all because of the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church, teaching or propagating baptismal regeneration, that it is through baptism that you are saved. Do you realize that in the early days of the Roman Catholic Church, they literally baptized babies by immersion? They didn't sprinkle them. They immersed them. And literally there are sects today. They take that little child, that baby, by the ankle, by the heel, and hold them upside down and just very quickly dunk them in water. Well, there are obvious complications that come along with that. And therefore, at some point, they begin to sprinkle their babies, or they begin to pour water on them and call that baptism. But there's a great problem with that. That's not immersion. That's not baptizo. That's not to overwhelm. You say, preacher, are you when you get saved, you get born again, you're dead in trespasses and sins, but you give your life to Christ and die with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now here you go. You say, preacher, do you think it's all right to sprinkle babies? Do you think it's all right to pour? Well, I don't have a problem with that. If you get saved in little bitty spots, I'll sprinkle you. If you get saved in little bitty streaks, I'll pour you. But if you get born of the Spirit of God and you're baptized into the body of Christ, you need to go under the water. Now, I may be just over-logical about this, but that's just as cornbread simple as I can make it. When Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist, he came up out of the water, and Brother Larry Winkler said, if you come up out of something, you had to have been in something. But there's one baptism. But we're not talking about getting in the water. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God, being baptized into the body of Christ. A lot of folks, a lot of my dear Pentecostal friends have a whole lot of problem with understanding the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. I know some Baptist folks that have problems with that, these Baptist writers. But if you look back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, that's the capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body, what body? The body of Christ, the church, the born-again saints of God. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, are we all, what? Baptized into one body. He places us, immerses us into the body of Christ. When's that happen? At salvation. Now I'm going back to the book of Colossians, and I'm going to give you some beauty from the Word of God, and I'm just going to share a few things with you. We'll go to the house. Look in verse number 6 in Colossians chapter number 2. In Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now he's talking to people, members of the body of Christ that are meeting in a local church in the city of Colossae. And here he tells them, walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The Jews had a certain problem with people who we call Judaizers. And some professed to be Christians, some professed to get saved. And they said, we believe Jesus is the Savior, he's the Messiah, all that's good. But you still got to keep the Old Testament laws and covenants. And they put a yoke of bondage on people. And what a lot of it had to do with was P-R-I-D-E, pride, religious pride. We do this, and we do that, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. Listen, that's alive and well today. I know Baptist preachers that cut their legs off so they can preach against walking. Just want to be different than everybody else, you know. We're against everything. I don't know what they're for. They're against everything. Now, I don't know what some of them's for. But verse number 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. He's talking about the traditions of the Pharisaical Jews, the elders that had told them that you've got to do all this ceremonial washing of your hands and you can't do this and you can't do that. And he said, look, he's saying, all that's going to ruin you. Don't let it ruin you. For in him, who, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Let me stop right here and help you. I want to help you understand. So I'm just teaching Sunday school. I know all of you know this, and you're more sanctified than I am, but just listen to me. If you already know all this stuff, you just bear with me for them folks that don't know. In the ceremonial law of the Jewish nation of Israel, they were under a covenant with God. We call that the Old Covenant. Therefore, that's typified in what we call the Old Testament. They had an old covenant, a different covenant. Now we have a New Testament, and we have a different covenant, a new and a living way. The Old Testament contains the New Testament, but it is concealed. The New Testament contains the Old Testament, but it is revealed. It's all one book. It's all there. But the Old Testament helps us understand the covenant that the Jewish people lived under. And under the Jewish laws, there are moral laws. Guess what? Moral laws never change. Thou shalt not kill, that's never changed. It's a principle. It's God's principle. It's the principles of his holiness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All of those things. And you see these 10 commandments over here. And 9 of those commandments on this chart right over here, 9 of those were moral laws that have never changed. But God had 2 commandments that were covenant commandments. They were not moral laws to anybody other than the Jews living under the old covenant. Can anybody tell me what those were? Circumcision and to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Circumcision to the Jews was an outward sign of their spirituality. It was an outward sign that they were a chosen race of people, that God had set them apart from this ungodly world, and God had made them different. And that was the cutting away of the foreskin in the males on the 8th day. And that circumcision was a sign between them and God, and it was a covenant between them and God, and something that showed they were different. But now something has happened. And Paul is explaining to them, when you get saved, you get born of the Spirit of God, there is a circumcision that's not made with hands. It's not got anything to do with the foreskin of the flesh of a male Jew on the 8th day, but it's got to do with God cutting away that part of your heart and God bringing you to a new place in fellowship with Christ. And it's something done on the inside. God gives you a new life and God gives you a new covenant. And therefore, we're no longer under that old covenant. That covenant law of circumcision does not apply to a New Testament saint of God. Okay, I'm moving forward. In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That means when we're in Christ, we have received a circumcision that's in our heart, that's of Christ, that's of God. But look at verse 12, Brother Danny buried with him in baptism. That's not talking about going to the river. That's not talking about getting in a baptismal pool. That's talking about you as a sinner that's come to Christ in need of a Savior. And God taking you as you are, but cleaning you up and changing you and making you different and baptizing, whelming, overwhelming, immersing you into the body of Jesus Christ. It don't stop there. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in sins, your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. The word quickened means make alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I'm glad I'm forgiven. And it's got nothing to do with what I did. It's got nothing to do with what I prayed. I came to Christ as a sinner in need of a Savior, and I trusted him, and he baptized me into himself. I don't know any of you ladies who were independently wealthy when you got married, but when you went to your husband, you got everything he had. When I came to be one with Christ, I got everything he had, including his righteousness. Yeah. Including his righteousness. I became part of the body and the bride of the sweet Lord Jesus Christ, and he bestowed great gifts upon me. And it has nothing to do with how good I've been or what I've done. It has everything to do with how good he is. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. This is to do with the Mosaic law, but not just the law, but more specifically, the ceremonial part of the law was the handwriting of an ordinance that was against us because it was an old covenant that the nation of Israel could not keep. And guess what, Brother C.L., me and you couldn't have kept it either. We messed it up. And what did Jesus do with that handwriting of that ordinance that was against us? Because we, you know, the law's holy, the law's righteous, but what's the weakness of the law? Us. Like every chain's got the weakest link in the chain, that's us. And God knew we couldn't keep that law, and what did Jesus do with it? Nailing it to his cross. Bless his holy name. He literally took the handwriting of the ordinance that was against me on the cross of Calvary and nailed it to the cross of Calvary and fulfilled everything that I could have never done right there on the cross of Calvary. And having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or new moons or of the Sabbath. Now, what's he doing? He's got these Judaizers that have come in and they said, well, we believe you can be saved and you can be a Christian, you can follow Jesus, but you still need to be circumcised and you still need to keep the Sabbath day and still need to keep all these other holidays, and you still can't do this, and you can't do that, and three more things we're going to think of later you can't do. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he said, don't be fooled by them. He said, you've been baptized into the body of Christ. Now I'm going to help you with something. That circumcision was a covenant law. But here he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Brother Danny, glory to God, I can eat bacon. You say, preacher, you're crazy. That's exactly what that says, Bubba. I can eat bacon, I can eat country ham. Why? Because God's not judging me on ceremonial or covenant laws of the nation of Israel anymore. I'm in Christ. Now listen to this. Or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or new moons, or Sabbath days. What's the Lord saying? The Lord here is speaking through the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, and he is telling them that all of these beautiful and wonderful things were pictures of the sweet Lord Jesus. And he said in verse number 17, which are shadows. That means a foreshadow, a picture, a type of things to come. What are you saying, Brother Mike? I'm saying those covenant laws of circumcision and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, were simply foreshadows of something that was going to come that would be fulfilled in Christ. Miss Shelby, I was noticing another day you buried your precious husband just a few short years ago. It ain't been long. But can I ask you an honest question this morning? And I'm not talking on a spiritual level. I'm just talking about one human being to another. And today, and Brother Don, you can go right along with this. And I love y'all and you're my friends. But can I just ask you an honest question? Would you rather have a picture of your spouse or would you rather really have them with you? Well, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. I'd whole lot rather have my wife than I would a picture of my wife. And the Lord Jesus said, circumcision is a picture. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is a picture. And now we don't need a picture because we got the real Christ. And the circumcision is not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision is what he did in my heart when he baptized me into his body. And guess what? What was the Sabbath for, Brother Ed? It's a day of rest. Rest from what? Your labors. What labors? Trying to get into heaven. Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter number 4. Therefore remaineth a rest. What rest is he talking about? He ain't talking about Canaan's land. He ain't talking about the Sabbath day. He's talking about Christ. Guess what? You say, people will mess you up and they'll look at you and they'll say, well, tell me when did God change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? He didn't. Sabbath's always been Saturday. We just don't keep a Sabbath. Why don't we keep a Sabbath? Because we have the Sabbath living in our heart. Our rest is Christ. We've rested from our labors, Brother Danny. I'm not doing a bunch of stuff to try to get to heaven. I rest in what Christ already did on the cross of Calvary. That's why we can go to McDonald's on Sunday. Because he is my Sabbath. And there are two covenant laws, the circumcision and the Sabbath day. And they're both fulfilled in Christ. I don't want to carry a picture around when I have the real thing. And there's a lot of folks who want to try to hang on to a picture. But the Lord Jesus did something. And the Word of God said here, Brother Danny, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. My old man, when I surrendered myself to Christ Jesus, was buried with him in baptism, in that when he immersed me, when he baptizoed me into his body, I'm hid, I'm gone, I'm dead. And not only did he allow me to participate in his death, he allowed me to participate in his resurrection. That because of the power of God to raise Christ from that tomb on the third day, God gave me power, though I was dead in trespasses and sins, that God gave me the ability to stand up and walk in the newness of life. Being baptized as an ordinance of the local church is not a spiritual baptism. It is a testimony that shows that I was dead in trespasses and sins, but my flesh was very much alive and very much at enmity with God, but I came to Christ and I surrendered. And he baptized me and allowed me to die his death with him. And because I died with him, he raised me up and let me live with him. And that's an outward picture of an inward thing that takes place when you get born of the Spirit of God. God changed you. God made you different. And see, that is the testimony. That is the real testimony. That's what it is. That you are telling the world that I'm dead in Christ, but I've been raised again to live in a newness of life. I got a new life. I sure do thank God for a new life. A new life. And I told you everything I told you this morning to explain to you what baptism's all about. But I've sure went in a roundabout way, but I sure have enjoyed doing it. I've enjoyed the journey. I've enjoyed the walk this morning. God's good and I love him. Are you a new creature in Christ? I mean, God made you different.